Well, happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. Bob Christopher is away today, so with Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We are live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be on the air, so you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or your particular situation. If you have that question or need direction for the tough issues of life, call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, where we are live right now and await your calls. The full number, if you prefer, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. All this month, we've been talking about emotional issues, you know, hard times, depression, how to avoid it, what causes us to get into it. And we focused on the negative side. And today I wanted to focus on something a little bit different, how it is that positive things can drive us into stressful situation, even into depression. If you're listening and you know my family, now you know why they call me Eeyore, because I can find the black cloud behind the silver lining. But the Bible is actually full of stories like this, where something excellent happens, and within a day or so, everything has gone to pieces. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to focus on one. It's in John 6. Jesus feeds the 5,000. So Jesus has been healing. He's been doing mighty miracles for God, demonstrating that the kingdom of God is here in him. He represents that. And this great crowd of people follows him, and he sees them, and he says, well, how are we going to feed these people? Mm-hmm. And the disciples, of course, don't know, and they find the little boy with the loaves and the fish. And Jesus performs one of the greatest miracles in the history of ever.
Yeah.
I would love to have watched the food springing out of his hands as he created on the spot. And so this great miracle occurs, and he sends the, you know, after they've collected all the extra, he sends the disciples across the lake, and he goes up on the mountain to pray, mm-hmm. to go be alone with God, to recharge his batteries, to say, Father, what do you want me to do tomorrow? And it turns out that what the Father wants him to do is tonight, because there's a squall on the lake, and the disciples are afraid, and he walks on the water across to them, scares them to death. Here they've just watched the Lord of the universe create food, mm-hmm. and now they're petrified because they see the Lord of the universe walking towards them as if they shouldn't have been surprised. And it got worse. When they got to the other side of the lake, the crowd finally figures out that they've gone, and they come charging across the lake and running around the lake in any way they can get there, and now they're excited.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we've got the guy. This is the Messiah. And Jesus says crazy things to them like, I am the bread of life.
Right, yeah.
Yep. And whoever eats of my body and drinks of my blood will, and they're going, what? And yeah. And by the end of the story, many, many of the people who were calling themselves disciples of Jesus had turned around and left.
Yeah.
They had turned their back on Jesus, and they were defeated. They were discouraged. Many of them were depressed. And you ask yourself, how is this possible? What did we just see yesterday? Not good enough. Well, how does that affect us? Especially at a time like Thanksgiving and we're about into the Christmas season, there are things that are going to happen over the next month that will blow your socks off. There's going to be things that happen with your family that are beyond amazing. There are things that are going to happen in your job that are amazing. Somebody is going to say something to you that wipes away years of disappointment or the perfect gift is given to you, and you're going to be thrilled. And the next day, just like when you were a kid and you had all those new toys and you used them and used them and used them for about 10 minutes and then you turned around and went, well, what's next?
Yeah.
That's what we humans do. When Right. we take our eyes off of Jesus, we look at all of these good things, and we get bored with them. Mm-hmm. Or we ignore why they're good. We ignore, most importantly, the people who gave them to us, the kind word, the beautiful gift, the whatever it is. And we get self-focused as if we deserved them in the first place, and then we set expectations mm-hmm. about what should be next. And when that expectation isn't met or we're called to stop focusing on ourselves, right down into the pit of depression,
depression we go.
Yeah. It only takes a heartbeat sometimes.
Yeah.
And truly, the only solution for something like this is to focus on Jesus. Focus on the guy who fed 5,000 men. You count the women and children, there could have been 20,000 people that he fed.
Exactly.
This is the man who died for your sins, who was raised to give you life, and who promises never to leave you or forsake you now. So when the good things come, and they will, when the good things come, don't get enamored with the good things. Be thankful for them. Be thankful for the people who brought them to you. Most important, be thankful to the God who made it all possible. And keep your perspective where it needs to be. Don't set the expectations that I got $10,000 today, I'm going to get $1 million tomorrow.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way.
Absolutely.
So don't let the good things drive you off the cliff.
Don't have a misplaced dependency or an unrealistic expectation.
Yes.
Those things will lead you right down into that whole thinking pattern of misplaced dependencies and, as I say, unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
Well, if you have an issue of this sort, or if you know someone who does, we'd love to talk with you about yourself, or about, we'll talk about them as well. It's okay.
Well, we can
give
talk about
call.
You.
Yeah,
yes.
We can. I started to give the old number again, Richard, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now, friends, and of course, as I've said so many times, we're on the air live only for one reason, and that is to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to allow you to pose your question or your particular situation, and we'd be glad to discuss it with you right now. The lines, as I said, are wide open at 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, or 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We await your calls right now. In the meantime, a question from Demetrio. He wants to know what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me.
I'd love to know that, too.
Okay, moving right along.
I used to read that verse and say, oh, my sakes, what am I going to do? I'm doomed. Because he literally took up a cross and became sin. Well, one of the things that we can be certain of is that our job isn't to take up Jesus' cross.
Right, right.
Okay? So often we take on the cares of the world. We take on such a load because we think we've got to do what Jesus did. Well, my load, and maybe this is your load too, but my load is to keep my eyes on Jesus. It's so easy to get my eyes off of him and to think I've got to do something or the responsibility is mine. If I don't do it, nobody else is. And I get all wrapped up in myself instead of allowing the faith that the Spirit is building in me to respond appropriately, to focus on Jesus and allow his overflowing love to take me where I need to be. And for me, that's a cross to bear. Some of you have harder crosses. Some of you are carrying illness, a chronic illness of some kind, living with pain or whatever. That is a cross for you. What did Jesus do on his cross that makes your cross possible? He took it all. And better than that, he was raised. And his resurrection guarantees that whether someone like me who tends to get focused on the wrong things or someone who's dealing with a chronic illness or a job situation or whatever, his resurrection gives us the hope that that will be dealt with once and for all one of these days. And for many of us, when we pick up that cross, give it to him at his cross so that his life and the resurrection can come to us, then we begin to have hope. Then we can be thankful. Then we can get out of the pit and deal with whatever's happening in a positive, affirming, God-blessed way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Good answer, Richard. I appreciate that, and I know Demetrio does as well. And if you have a question that you'd like to pose, can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'd love to talk with you. Let's go to Louisville and talk to Trish, listening on WFIA. Trish, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you all today?
We're doing great. Good to hear from you.
Good, good. Now, I don't mean to sound bad, okay? And I'm just still having that plugging along with the trust issue here. God said he would never leave us nor forsake us, but what if I don't understand that because I'm having some financial problems. The rent is due and have no way of getting the rent. So I don't feel like God is with me. And that's a terrible thing to say, I know, but that's my feeling.
Well, first of all, Trish, I don't think you should apologize for that. I thank you for being honest enough and courageous enough to say that, because I know there are other people listening right now that are going, wow, I'm not the only one. You know, Trish is going through some hard things too. So first of all, thank you for that. It's interesting that you bring up things like rent money and all of that, because the context of that statement, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, comes in a list of things in Hebrews 13. One of them was marriage, where the writer to the Hebrews wanted them to be pure in their marriages and to avoid adultery and immorality. And another thing he wanted them to do was to keep their lives free from the love of money, to be content with what they had rather than climbing over everybody to get more. And so what he's saying here is we use Jesus' statement, or the God statement in the Old Testament, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, so that we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. So that doesn't mean that in your case, you will miraculously get the rent money. You might, right? God is a good God. He's a great God. He certainly can give you what you need. He may bring somebody to you who can give you what you need. But if he doesn't, he's still not rejecting you. He knows best. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows what you need right now. And so the response of faith, and this is hard, okay? It's easy for me to say this. It's probably harder for you to deal with it. The response of faith says, Lord, you know that I need this rent money. And I know that you love me, and I know that you know what's best for me. I'm going to trust you to do what needs to be done, or to bring about what needs to be done, right? We all love the stories of the rent money that shows up anonymously in an envelope in the mail. And those things do happen. But those are the exceptions. Most people who are struggling with finances are struggling with finances. And maybe what God will do if you get off of the anxiety track and onto the faith and trust track will show you or bring to your attention things that you can do, people that you could contact, organizations that you could contact, something that might help alleviate some of what's going on. Unfortunately, we're not in a position here on the radio to say, you know, everybody send money to Trish, because we're not going to give your address out in the air or anything like that. But, you know, but there's probably somebody who knows you and may be listening and says, wow, you know, let's help out here. Trust for that. And in the meantime, respond by faith so that your mind can be clear. Now, when you're living in anxiety, when you're really wrestling with some of this stuff, your mind gets so caught up in the problem that you can't even imagine a solution, let alone see it to its conclusion. And so the best thing I think I could recommend to you is to, by faith, allow the Spirit to quiet your thought patterns so that you can think clearly and make wise choices and take the next step. This isn't the step for 3 weeks from now. This is the step just for today. And he will do that. He may show you something. You may run across something in the paper or hear something on television or on the radio or meet somebody who has exactly what you need in terms of a solution. And I don't know what that solution is going to be, but God loves you more than you can possibly know. And the fact that you're in financial difficulty is not his judgment on you. It is not him slapping you upside the head and saying, well, if you were a better person, I'd send you money. That's not how he works. And so allow the Spirit to give you the peace that only the Spirit can give, especially in these kinds of circumstances, and that'll help you think clearly and to choose what is necessary going down the road.
Thank you. Those are, and you know what? I will let you know what becomes of all of this.
Yeah, please do.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I love you guys. And
thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Blessings to you, Trish.
Bye.
And just a moment, we're going to go talk to Lisa in Mission, Texas. But Richard and listeners, we'd like to let you know, of course, that the Basic Gospel Annual Thanksgiving Sale is now on through this Wednesday, the 26th, with a 30% discount on all of our products. Visit store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Select the products you'd like and enter the coupon code THANKFUL at checkout. How appropriate for this Thanksgiving week.
Indeed.
I think we chose that word specifically.
We might have.
It just might have. Hey, you can also order by phone at 844-41-BASIC. Speak with our operator, 844-41-BASIC. So that's 30% off on all products right now at store.basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-41-BASIC. Either way, use the coupon code THANKFUL when checking out. Take advantage of this Thanksgiving sale, friends. It happens once a year, and we'd love for you to be able to save plenty of money on the products that will be such of priceless value to you at the Thanksgiving sale. Again, 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. 844-322-2742. Okay, to Mission, Texas, we're going to talk to Lisa. Welcome to the broadcast. Lisa, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My call is in reference to, I think, the lady that called right before me, where she was having, or at least it seemed like, a difficult time trying to be this Christian person and studying the Word and going through the motions. And I think that with my story, I hope I can give her a little bit of an insight, but I also was taking a bunch of classes, and I missed somehow through all of it. I was just getting the head knowledge and really hard on myself and not realizing that Father God's love for me is unconditional. And as soon as I realized that I can't do anything to earn it. I mean, He's done it already, and just focused on that as a heart affair with compassion. It just made me flow easier in my walk, and that was what I wanted to say, because like I said, you can beat yourself up and go round and round and try to be perfect and try not to judge and all of this, and it's going through the motions and not realizing that our Father God in heaven loves us already. So it's kind of, it's to me been a real revelation, and so that's what I wanted to share with you all.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lisa. There's such truth in that. It seems that those of us in this Western society over the last 50 years or so, we've gotten more and more and more concerned with facts and less concerned with relationship. Even what we call relationships in our society these days are horrible things, generally speaking. Now, all of you know where good relationships are and all of that, but what's presented in movies and on TV and stuff, you can't call those relationships. And what God wants with us more than anything else is a relationship. Because Adam and Eve walked away from Him, walked away from a face-to-face relationship with God, and He has spent the rest of what we know as history making a way for people to be back in relationship with Him. And when Jesus got here and lived and died and rose again and then sent the Holy Spirit, we are now in relationship with Jesus. And that love truly is overwhelming. It's not a love we understand. It's a love we can't experience. But it's finite,
and when you finally, when you finally get a hold of it, it's indescribable. And
yes,
it's something that at 56 years old, being I mean, it's a new way of life, and I honestly don't feel my age. And it's not that my circumstances are still the same. The deal is that I am loved, and my Father smiles down at me. And once I captured that He loves me just the way I am, so it makes me want to even try, even do things that I never thought I'd try to do, you know, with the Holy Spirit guiding me, it is just so cool.
Yeah,
and I just wish that for everybody. I mean, it's just like second nature. And I guess I would describe it that my soul is connected with Him. So it's just really cool, and I just encourage everybody that, you know, right now with the world being as kind of out of kilter, you're right, relationships, there's all kinds, but the only one that really can satisfy us from one end to the other would be, I would say in my story, would be a real relationship with our Father in heaven, God. So
yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you.
Have a blessed Thanksgiving, gentlemen.
You too.
You
thank
too,
you
Lisa.
So much.
Absolutely. Quickly, let's go to Connecticut. Talk to Rob, listening on a great New York affiliate, WMCA. Rob, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was just listening as I was traveling here, and I heard the gentleman call in about what it means to pick up a cross. And I was a little bit confused about the answer, and I hopefully you could discuss that further.
Okay.
You know, I think your answer included, you know, bad things happening to people, and you know how they, you know, just bear their cross and bear up under it. You know, Jesus will help you because He died on His cross. But you know, that kind of to me, that kind of means Jesus didn't know what He was talking about when He talked about a cross. I mean, it meant absolute death, and you know, the cross is an instrument of death. And I think what Jesus was trying to tell us is we must pick up our cross. In fact, that's what He said. You pick up your cross and follow Me. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to die, and you must die also.
Yes.
And He you know, brings newness to life after we have died on that cross with Him on the cross.
Yeah. So thank you for that clarification. And I should have said more in those along those lines, but what I want to make sure is that when Jesus talks to us literally about dying, that is a one-time deal. That is a salvation experience, and it's beautifully pictured in the baptismal picture, where you know we die and we're buried and we're raised again, and we leave all that was us in the water, buried, and we come to new life. One of the things that I wrestled with as a young Christian was legalism. And in my legalism, I thought I had to be carrying a cross every day of my life. And I certainly did. And it ruined me. When I discovered grace and the freedom that is in Christ and realized that what He was asking me to do was to die to the law and to die to what I used to be and to come alive in Him, that literally changed everything. And so I thank you for calling out that I left part of the answer out. So that
yeah, well,
that's
I appreciate
stuff,
that
Rob.
Very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Rob. Hope you keep listening and call again if you have questions or whatever the situation might be. We would love to hear from you on Basic Gospel.
Before we close, let me say that we are listener supported.
Yes.
And it would be really cool for folks to give to this ministry. You're not giving to me, you're giving to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if this is helping you, you can help others hear this message by giving, and this would be a great time to do it.
All righty. Well, this time of year, of course, is a great time. We pause to give thanks for the enormous blessings we've received from God as a nation. Our currency bears the words, "In God we trust," and though the ranks of detractors seem to increase almost daily, I pray that most of us in America still do trust in God, more specifically trust in Jesus Christ. We're on the airwaves, as Richard said, and online each weekday, proclaiming Him and the fullness of His love and grace and life, and many times offering clarity for biblical guidance and for the hard issues that we face every day. If this program is helping you find answers, we ask you to express your appreciation to God by supporting His work through Basic Gospel. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Please join with us, everybody, today if possible, with what you can joyfully and cheerfully, the New Covenant way. We hope to hear from you today. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Richard Piper, Bob Christopher, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.